What's your name?
Cheski Rubin.
Cheski, I'm sorry. Cheski, nice to meet you.
Shkoyach for joining us in the shir.
Thank you.
The call of Shalom Isha.
Zechus for me. I really thank you all for enabling me to learn with you a little bit. I give a lot of credit to you for doing what you do here in camp, both as campers, as counselors, and working in camp, and also learning here in the morning. And I really have to say, bizchus and birshus and behokara rabah to Rav Davidol to enable me to be exposed to you guys a little bit. I think, maybe I'll just say for a second, that the power of Torah and the power of Hasmada in Torah, even in camp and with all the distractions, is, as you know, exceedingly important for you. I'm sure you know that. That's why you're here. But I hope you also know that it's exceedingly important for a camp. Both indirectly, the power of Torah, I benefit right now from somebody learning in Bnei Brak, and somebody learning in Lakewood, and somebody learning in New York, and so I benefit. The world is sustained because of them, but I also, I may not even know them, never met them, but I gain from them. That's indirectly, perhaps we'll say, but I'm even saying, and that's true in camp also. Everyone who walks around knows that there's a Beis Medrash program going on. With all the chesed here, and it's gorgeous chesed, and it's enviable, the kina sofrim chesed, I'm envious in a hopefully positive way, of what they do. They know that, and we all know that that there's Torah going on here, and Torah zikr, and so you don't need me to encourage you, you're encouraging me. I just wanted to let you know what people from the outside, and I'm one of them, are thinking, so I really give you a yisha koach and thank you. We feel, it seems, even in the short time that I've been here, feel your influence. So I hope it continues, and in Mirtz Hashem, with Rav Davidol at the head, to be able to really to influence yourselves, but also to the camp and those around you. So yisha koach and thank you. I wanted to share an idea. It's hard to believe that we're one third of the way through the 9 days. And it's hard in camp, as you know. And I know you're learning issues related to 3 weeks and the 9 days and Shavuot Shachalbo and Tisha B'Av. And it's hard. It's hard in camp. It's hard. You have it maybe a little easier, perhaps, certainly in the mornings. You can close the doors and we can think a little bit. And I think when you work in the afternoons, it's a little harder. It mimics a little bit of real life sometimes, and I think it may be important to take a step back. I wanted to share with you a quick idea. I'm certainly not going to take the whole time, Lina, there, just to share with you a quick idea. Something I put together that I hopefully will help me think about the Mikdash and think about how in Mirtz Hashem this year we're going to be celebrating on Tisha B'Av and not what we did last year. For those of you who were at the talk a couple nights ago, you'll be able to tell your children that you remember what it was like to mourn on Tisha B'Av. They're going to think you're crazy. Think that you fell off of another planet. What are you talking about? It's the happiest. I've been waiting for this day all year round, celebrating, dancing in the streets, music, smell of our karbanos, coming right off of, Har HaBayis. I can smell it. And what are you talking about? What are we talking about crying? You're like, no, I'll remember. And you have to make sure you write it down, because they're going to think you really lost, you really lost it. So we're looking for that already now in Mirtz Hashem. This year they won't think you're crazy, because everybody here remembers it. But by the time you have children, they're going to not know what world you're talking. You fell off another planet that you mourn on the 9th of Av. But anyway, so how do we get there? So I thought that I would share with you, I hope I have enough copies. It's two-sided. There is, we all know, that there is a concept that, when the Beis HaMikdash was first destroyed, it's two sides. Anybody not get? Oh, sorry. So I think I have the original. When the Beis HaMikdash was first destroyed, the people there had no idea how to react and how to relate. It was not a world that they were used to. It's not a world that they knew how to live in. Similar, they may call it, psychologically, they may call it denial. Similar to the Gemara when Rebbe died. And Talmidim came out and said, anybody who says the Rebbe died, Yidaker v'cherzu, you know, you can't say he died. We know he's not alive, but we can't. So similar to that on a national scale, and none of us, I may be older, but I also didn't ever witness the Beis HaMikdash myself. You know, none of us really, really know what it was like to have the Beis HaMikdash at the center. Good afternoon. Glad you could join us. None of us really know what it was like, and they did. And just like we have a hard time understanding what it was like to live without the Beit HaMikdash, with the Beit HaMikdash, I'm sorry, they had a hard time understanding what it was like to live without. The center of everything. The nevuah that we had, the head, the center of the Malchus, the center of the Sanhedrin, the Kohen Gadol, everything he stood for. We didn't have the Aron already in the second Beis HaMikdash, but we understand where the Aron stood, and the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. How am I supposed to, what do you want me to daven without a Mikdash? What do you want me to daven in a shul, you know, in a different city? I don't understand what you're talking about. And so the Gemara tells us, I didn't quote this Gemara, but the Gemara in Bava Basra says that the people, that first generation, said, fine, we're never going to eat meat again. How can we eat meat? The korbanos, there's no korbanos, how can we eat meat? And we're not going to drink wine. How can we drink wine anymore? Wine, nisuch hayayin, every korban sibur, almost every korban sibur didn't have, it had wine. I can't drink wine anymore. Okay, Rabbi Yeshua says, well, wait a second. That means that you shouldn't have fruit either, because it reminds you of the bikurim. And the people said, inachinami, we're not going to have fruit. They said, no, we're going to have fruit that the kinds that are, we'll have bread. We'll eat bread. So what are you talking about? You can't have bread. It reminds you of the Korban Mincha. Can't have bread. I said, you're right, we're not going to have bread. And he said, well, you can't drink water either. Water, nisuch hamayim. And he said, you're right. And he said, no, that, you're not right. That's not possible. Rov HaTzibur cannot do this. That's not the way we're going to live. We're going to continue living as you've been hearing, as we're mamish experiencing this year. We're going to continue living, but this is how we're going to do it. And that's where we pick up the Gemara. Ella, kach amru chachamim. This is the way we're going to live. We're going to enjoy. We're going to celebrate. We're also going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we're going to learn Torah. But we are going to do some things to remind us, to keep in mind, that we don't have a mikdash. For example, number one, kach amru chachamim. Sad adam es beso besid umishayer bo davar muat v'kama amrab Yosef ama al ama amrav chizda keneged ha-pesach. That's number one. One of the things we're going to do, zecher le-mikdash, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to build a house, enjoy. And by the way, I'm not going to go, I really don't want to take too much time, but the halachos that we're learning now are quoted in the Tur, are quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, Tafkuf Samach. They're quoted in the Rambam. If we have time, maybe I will read. But if not, you see, I quote a lot of them right here. There's nobody who says they're not. And in fact, the Mishnah Brura, the beginning of Tafkuf Samach, wonders why some of these halachos that we're going to learn now are not more, they're not observed more, we'll say, not followed more. It's strange. He tries to be more heter, kedarku bakodesh. If Bnei Yisrael is doing something, there must be a reason. If they're not doing something, there must be a reason. But big gadol, the Rambam doesn't work with that. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't work on that. So I can build a house, and it's a machlokas rishonim, actually, whether I'm allowed to, whether the rest of the house is allowed to be nice, or whether I should make it a little bit low key. That seems from the Rambam that not so. The Tur disagrees. The Tur says that you can make a gorgeous house if you want. Just leave over ama alama kenegad haPesach. Oh, I walk into your house. What a beautiful house you have. Paintings. Hey, what's going on here? What is this? Oh yeah. How can my house be perfect without the mikdash? We've seen that. Hopefully, we have that in our own homes. Number one. Two, Osa, three lines down. Osa Adam kol tzorchei seuda umeshayer davar muat. Mayhi amarav papa kasa daharsana. You can have a beautiful meal. Nothing wrong with enjoying whatever you had. I understand last night you had some nice apple pie. That's what I heard from Rav Judah. We also had, but I didn't talk about it actually. Maybe I should have. I should have recorded what he said and then said what he said. Apple pie is good. Enjoy. Eat and recognize where the food's coming from. V'chulei brachos before or after divrei Torah, but enjoy. But leave something over, and you'll see the way the Rambam. If you have a chance, I want to run a little bit, but you'll see how the Rambam deals with this and the Shulchan Aruch. Leave over something, maybe a setting, itself, maybe of food itself. There's no such thing as a perfect meal. There is a shita which says that Pesach night is the exception. We know that there's no exception in halacha, but is the part of the rule is that the malchus and the cherus of Seder night is different. But anyway, the rest of the year, there's no such thing as a perfect meal. I have to be careful. I'll change the details a little bit. But I know somebody who is a particular connoisseur, and he makes nice food. He's a chef in many ways, not his profession, but he. And his wife said to me, I said, "Oh, he really cooks? I didn't know." And his wife said to me, "Yes, if you ever want to have the best meal of your life, go to him." Now, Baruch Hashem, she values what he values also, but. It struck me a little bit the wrong way. Not only because of the churban, it's only food. Let's remember, sometimes you go to a kiddush, after davening, and the frontal, combat attack, grandmothers are being pushed aside because I haven't eaten, a gefilte fish ball, in a couple hours. It's only food. I mean, I would also say that after a fast, if you're not able to physically, of course, I'm not talking about that. But if you're able to, there's a certain musr in my mind associated with the fast is over at 9:15. There's some musr about not eating before 9:20. I'm not saying till the next morning. That's usr and it's dangerous. And if you're not healthy and feeling faint, Khalilah, I'm not even talking about that. But I don't know if it happens in this camp. But in other camps, I've seen on fast days, v'hu rachum, Ma'ariv is over, a soda can opens up. Some kid in, 10th grade opens up a soda can, or cracks open a potato chips. Chas v'shalom. It's only food. I mean, it's important. Just keep it in mind. Anyway, that's not what I was planning on talking about. But anyway, but not only because of the musr side of it, but also because of the churban. Next. And everybody brings this down. L'halacha. Next. Osa isha. Kol tachshiteha, she can wear any jewelry. Umishayeres davar muat, mayhi amarav bat saada. Some sort of jewelry. A woman should not wear all her jewelry at once. Leave over something. There's no such thing as a perfect home. There's no such thing as a perfect meal. No such thing as perfect clothing. I would imagine, although this is not the time for this, I would imagine that these three are related to the important parts of the Beis HaMikdash, the building itself, the korbanos that happens in the center of the avoda and the mizbeach, and also the begadim, the kahuna, and the begadim of the kohen gadol. I think that there seems to be some parallels on that. But anyway, what I wanted to get to was the following. And by the way, the Gemara continues talking about the halachos that all of you will emir tzashem. Well, I take that back. I was about to say you'll all do, but I shouldn't have said that. When you get married in Mitzvah Hashem, you won't do this, and you won't need to do this in Mitzvah Hashem, because the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt by then. But those people who've already gotten married, there's the halacha of putting ashes in the makomat where the tefillin are, and we do that, and the smashing of the glass, and all the things that we do at a wedding that we're so used to. But again, there's no such thing as a perfect wedding. There's no such thing as a perfect simcha. And why? So I'm not going to read that Gemara, but why? It's important to read the source. The Gemara says, "Shene'emar im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yemini." It's a pasuk in Kuf Lamed Zion in Tehillim. That's the mizmor of Al Naharos Bavel. Imeshkachech Yerushalayim. Done. And I'm running a little bit. I'm speeding. And there's a lot more to say on that. And that's more in the Gemara. It's important to learn those halachos. And I put the pasuk on the bottom. Read the Rambam. If you flip over your page, though, so I do want to get to this, and then we'll the Gemara, the Mishnah first in Masechas Sukkah, also talks about things that we do Zeichel Mikdash. The Gemara says, the Mishnah first starts like this. Barishonas, believe it or not, it's Rosh Chodesh Av coming up, which means Elul's around the corner, and Rosh Hashanah's around the corner, and Yom Kippur around the corner, Sukkot is around the corner, so here we have Masechah Sukkah, Mem Aleph. Barishona haya lulav nital ba'mikdash shiva uva medina yom echad. It's a machlokas Rishonim. What does medina mean? But we'll just, Rashi Rambam, but we'll say now that it just means not mikdash. So there's mikdash and not mikdash, whatever that means. Whether it's all of Eretz Yisrael, not including Yerushalayim, including Yerushalayim. But anyway, there's medina means not Yerushalayim, not mikdash. I'm sorry. So originally, in other words, when the mikdash stood, the lulav was taken 7 days. But out of the mikdash, we took it 1 day. You live in Beit Shemesh, you live in Hebron, you live in Tzfat, wherever you live. You take a lulav 1 day. However, mi shecharav beis hamikdash hiskin Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai she lulav nitel ba medina shiva zeicher lemikdash. Very nice. Zecher Mikdash, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who is uniquely connected to the Churban and to the Mikdash itself and life after the Mikdash, was Masakein that you had to take the lulav. I take the lulav 7 days in Beit Shemesh, in Chevron, in Sfat, in Tinek, in Lahavdil, in Tinek, in wherever, because to remind myself of the Mikdash. Zecher Mikdash. I'm going to skip. Well, anyway, and also who's Masakein is Yehei Yom Hanef Kulo Aser. It's not related to our discussion. Yom Hanef is the Tenufa. Is the time we wave the... Anyone know Yom Hanef is the Korban Omer? This, the Korban Omer, that as soon as we wave the Korban Omer, Chadash is Mutter. So if the Omer was waved on the second day of Pesach, you know, at 9:12 a.m., I could eat Chadash 9:13. If it was 10:16, I could eat 10:17. What do I do when the Mikdash is over? So theoretically, I should be able to do it that afternoon because Kohanim is Rizim. Yet, Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, no. You can't have chadash, and in kachava, this is the way we paskin, you can't eat chadash the way we used to paskin. God willing, it'll return, but the way we used to paskin is that, in other words, when the mikdash is still not built, we don't eat chadash until the third day of Pesach. Look, Yom HaNeif is completely aser to eat. Okay, yashan. Aser to eat chadash. Anyway, so, but what happened? The Gemara told, the Mishnah told us, one day, it used to be one day in the Mikdash, I'm sorry, 7 days in the Mikdash and one day outside, and today 7 days outside. The Gemara says, Minah lan di'avdinan zeichel mikdash. How do I know? That I've got to do things zeichel mikdash. Says the Gemara, de'amar kra. I'm sorry, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, de'amar kra. I'm in the second line of the Gemara. De'amar kra, ki a'ale arucha lach. I'm gonna. If you want, by the way, I quoted the whole pasuk just below here, so you can quote, look them down in your Miyahu. Ki aale aruchalach umi mako saich erpaich. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to cure you of your wounds, Neum Hashem. And here's the line here. Ki nidacha karula, because she, which means Yushalayim, ear in Hebrew is feminine. She, it, Yushalayim was called nidacha. It was called, forsaken, I guess, pushed away. She was called Nidacha. Tzion he, she is Tzion, it is Tzion, Doresh Ein La. There is nobody who seeks out Yerushalayim. And I go back into the Gemara, you can look down, it says the Gemara, so, Ki Nidacha Karulach Tzion. He, Doresh Ein La, says the Gemara, Doresh Ein La, Michlal Debaya Drisha. We hear from here, we learn from here that Doresh Ein La, I learn from here that Yushalayim requires Drisha. Requires to seek out Yushalayim, to look after Yushalayim, to care about Yushalayim, to place Yushalayim at the center, at the heart of what I do. Every decision I make is Yushalayim, Yushalayim, Yushalayim. And so therefore that's a raya, it's the makor, that we do things that are zeichel mikdash. Everyone with me so far? Gevald. Rabbi Soloveitchik asks a very pashut question. Somebody made a mistake here. Because I got a Gemara in Baba Basra, which tells me that the source for zeichel mikdash is in, it's true. It's a joke, chas v'shalom. Nobody makes mistakes in Gemaras, but just speaking, in a havamina sort of way, there's a problem. Because the Gemara in Baba Basra, what pasuk is quoted, that's what I wanted to see in the Gemara in Sukkah. Minalan de avdinan zeichel lemikdash, Amar Yochanan de Amar Kra, imeshkechech Yerushalayim tishkach yimini. That's what I wanted to see in Sukkah. Or the opposite, when I was reading, how do I know these halachos of zeichel lemikdash? Shene'emar ki a'ale aruch halach, etc. Doresh Eimla. That's what I wanted to see. Why did the Gemara's quote different sukkim? Good question. So listen to his answer, his Givaldic answer. It's written in a few places, but the clearest place that it seems to be written is on the Rishumo San Sukkah. Masech HaSukkah is one of the Masechtos that Rizocha, I think it's Rabbi Braunschweigel, I think it's Rabbi Braunschweigel, who summarized some notes, the notes that he heard in Rav Soloveitchik Shir, and it's there. He also, it's mentioned in Hare Kedem in a different context, but it's a little bit, I think if I found it to be a little clearer in the Rishumo San Sukkah. It says the following, Kedarko Bakodesh, his brisker lineage and genealogy says the following. Says that really what's happening is that there is two components to Zeichel Mikdash. There's not one. When we talk about, and I think, by the way, thinking about this will help you and me, it'll help me think about Yerushalayim and think about the 9 days and think about the building of the Mikdash differently than we have in the past. There's two kinds of Zeichar Mikdash. There's not one. And each Pasuk and each Gemara is referring to two different forms of Zeichar Mikdash. Two different types. There's one type which is from Bava Basra. And that is not even called Zeichar Mikdash. It would be called Zeichar Churban. It's avelus. It's mourning over what we don't have. It's feeling a hole in our hearts for what we're missing. It's backward looking. It's im eshkachech Yerushalayim. I'm not going to forget what I used to have. Tishkach imini chas v'shalom. I'm never going to forget it. And that's one form of that's not even called Zeichel Mikdash anymore. It's called Zeichel Churban. Okay. That's one form of Zeichel Churban. There is, however, another form of Zecher, and that's not called Zecher l'Churban, that's called Zecher l'Mikdash. And that is not backward looking. And that's not Avelus. It is forward looking. And believe it or not, there is an element of Simcha associated. It's what I am looking forward to having again. It's specifically the way Rabbi Soloveitchik describes it, is I am looking forward to the mitzvos that were celebrated and performed in the Mikdash. It's forward looking. And that's Doreish, it's Tzion hi Doreish Einla. I have to be Doreish. I have to seek out Yerushalayim, I have to get Yerushalayim, I have to grab Yerushalayim. And that's another form.
Question. How do you grab Yerushalayim?
I was speaking figuratively. Good question.
But how do you grab Yerushalayim? You reach out and take it?
No, you're right. I should have been more clear. I don't mean to physically take the land. You're right. Yeah. I meant to say that I look forward to going back there, looking forward to seeing the Mikdash be rebuilt. Good question. In fact, we have some examples, a few or more examples coming up. To Givaldi, I should have been more clear. Yeah, it's we look forward to Yerushalayim. We look forward to the Mikdash being rebuilt. We look forward to mitzvos being returned to the Mikdash. And as a matter of fact, Rabbi Soloveitchik says that these two forms of Zecher, blank, are found in Eicha. So I quoted the pasuk here in Eicha, Perek Aleph. We read it last year. Hopefully we'll learn it this year. Hopefully we won't need to read it this year. Says the pasuk, Zachra Yerushalayim Yemei Onya Umerudah. The Yerushalayim remembers, backward looking. That's a sad, avelus, backward looking. Yerushalayim remembers the days when it was afflicted, the days when it was impoverished. And what does it remember also? Kol machamudeha, all the treasures, asher hayu mimekedem, etc. That's the second form. That's Zeichel Mikdash. That's forward looking. That's happy. That's simcha. I can't wait for the Mikdash to be returned. I can't wait for the mitzvos to be returned. I can't wait to smell the korbanos. I can't wait to bring a korban tod. I can't wait to see a korban ola being brought. It's a korban sibur. I can't wait for them. Two things. Rabbi Soloveitchik says that these two forms of remembering and the way I remember Yerushalayim answer a few questions. I'll go through them kind of quickly and then we'll just leave on just one quick thought. So once we know this, and one of the things I love about Rabbi Soloveitchik is that once he says it, it's so obvious, and you kick yourself, why couldn't I think of that? But I'm not Rabbi Soloveitchik, so that's probably why. That's the first giveaway. Two kinds of remembering the Mikdash, two things I gotta do. Backwards, avelus, sadness. Forward is simcha, I can't wait until. So the Baal HaMor. The Baal HaMor was asked, and I quoted here, I'm Psachim, as you'll see maybe in line 3, the question was, why don't we? The first line, Uvesfiras HaOmer Yeshe Shoali Ma Tam Ein Anu Omrim Bo Zman. Why don't we say Shachiyanu when we count the Omer? By the way, this is what Rabbi Soloveitchik Maharei Kedem is referring to. He's a little bit of a different answer. Why we don't say Shechianu? He quotes the Baal HaMor and goes off in a little different direction. But anyway, so the Baal HaMor answers that the Omer is Avelis. Look at line 3. Shelo matzinu birkas zman ela badavar sheish bo shum hanah. Kegon netilas lulav shehu ba l'simcha utzkiyas shofar l'zikaron ben Yisrael le'avihem shebashamayim. U'mikra megila dechas rachmana alan u'farkinan. Upidyon haben shemevarech avi haben shachiyanu l'fishiyatza bno misafek nefel. Dekol sheshaha shloshim yom ba'adam eno nefel. Ulesviras haomer, line 6. Ulesviras haomer, ein bo zecher l'shum hana ela le'ogmas nafshenu l'churban beis me'aveinu. That's it. That's the answer. Balamor answers. The omer, you know, there are certain things we make shachiyanu on. New clothing, pidyon haben, nitzilas lulav. But not sviras haomer. Sviras haomer is very sad. So I ask somebody Soloveitchik, I don't understand. The old reason you're asking me why we don't say Shechianu by Sefiras HaOmer, it's sad. So why do we say Sefiras HaOmer by Lulav? I just read in the Mishnah that there's no that the only reason I'm taking Lulav on in the Mikdash. I'm sorry, after the Mikdash is Zecher le Mikdash. So why would I say Shechianu? Soloveitchik says it's Pashut now. Now I need, it's a Pashut answer. Sefiras HaOmer is backward looking. I'm sad that I, you know, today is day 21 of the Omer. That means 21 days ago I didn't bring the Korban Omer. Today is 20. I didn't bring the Korban Omer. How can I tell you? I'm excited for Shavuos. I'm excited for Matan Torah. But it's a zecher lechurban. But lulav is zecher lemikdash. I'm excited. I'm happy. I can't wait. I'm taking a lulav not because I'm crying over the loss of the mikdash. I'm taking lulav. I'm so excited. I can't lose this mitzvah. I can't wait to do it again. I can't wait to grab this opportunity again. It's happiness. It also answers another question. The Rama says, at the next line here, the Rama says in Hilchos Lulav, Rachmana Litzlan, mi she'ira lo avel b'chag, eino mekif hoshanos, an avel stands on the side and doesn't walk around. Avel koyu bet chodesh al avi v'imo. V'chein avel. I'm sorry. Mishiro lo avel b'chag eno mekuf. V'chein avel kol yud beis chodesh al avi v'imo v'chein nagu. Rama Paskins. We don't. Person who's an avel doesn't walk around. Doesn't walk around hoshanos for hoshanos. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik. I don't understand. The whole reason again why I bring lulav is zecher lemikdash. That's all. It's avelus. That's all we're doing is avelus. But we know the answer already. The question is already. We know without Rabbi Soloveitchik, we stumping. We know the answer now. It's not avelus. Avelus. We do things for avelus. We leave over something in our house. We leave over something from the studa. Something from our clothing, women's clothing, and jewelry. But lulav. There's a simcha celebration associated with it. There's more to say. I just want to leave with you with one thing. We said we were going to end a little bit. No, you didn't say. I wanted to give you some time also. I know you have shir and you want to continue a little bit. I think that might be the pshat, a pshat. This is me talking and I really could be wrong. The Gemara in Tainus, there's a Gevaldic Gemara which hopefully you've heard, and there's a beautiful Chafetz Chaim which I wanted to leave you with, but the Gemara says, Kol ha-mis'abel al Yerushalayim zocheh b'ruah b'simchasa. V'she'eino mis'abel al Yerushalayim eino ruah b'simchasa.
Okay.
If a person is misabel over Yerushalayim, is going to be zocha to see its rebuilding. And the Chavitz, so I think, I mean, I'll say the Chavitz Chaim in a second, I think that this Gemara is the pshat Rabbi Soloveitchik says. Kol ha-mis'abel al Yerushalayim, zocha v'roa b'simchasa. The Chavitz Chaim asks, I'll go back to the Rabbi Soloveitchik, that I didn't translate the Gemara properly. The Gemara does not say, kol ha-mis'abel al Yerushalayim, yizke v'yire. Whoever is misabel Yerushalayim will be zoche. I mourned last year, so I will see. No, it's if you do mourn, you do see, says the Gemara. So I'll give you the Chavetz Chaim's answer. Beautiful. It's shaved just to hear that. That's not mine. I'm able to brag about somebody else. But I think that's also the pshat that Rabbi Soloveitchik is saying, that you can, while we're doing many things, reminding us that there's no mikdash, we can have two things simultaneously. You can have Mis'avla Yerushalayim. It's every day you walk home, every day you leave your house. Reminds me, oh, right. Mikdash is not there, right? And that's I can also be Besimcha. Besimcha, I can't wait. Somebody is homesick. I see people who are homesick sometimes in camp or wherever. Homesickness is a combination of these two things. I wish I was with my parents, and I can't wait to be home again. It's these two, it's a combination. I miss my bed, I wish I was able to sleep. I can't wait to do it again. This double. But anyway, I'll tell you the Chafetz Chaim where this will end, but I think it's a gorgeous thing. Again, the Gemara says, Kol Yisrael B'Yushalayim, Zochev Roeh B'Simcha. So the Chafetz Chaim says that doesn't, grammatically doesn't make sense. So very briefly, I'll tell you what the Chafetz Chaim says. He reminds us of the story of Yaakov and Yosef and the brothers. Yosef comes home. I don't have that here. I was going to say something else, and a little too long. I'll share it another time if you guys want. But anyway, Chafetz Chaim reminds us of the story of Yosef and Yaakov, and the brothers come home, and they have his ksonas pasim, and it's bloody, bloody.
They were jealous of it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And they basically killed him, maybe not directly, but he's definitely a goner. There's no way he's going to survive this. There's no way. And they come home, and they say, they show him the coats, and is this your son's? And he says, Chaya ra'a halasu. Yaakov recognizes that this is his son's coat, and he mourns. Vayisabel al bno yamim rabim. He mourns. It's terrible, but it's normal. It's healthy. It's important. The halachos of avelus lo aleinu are a good, parallel to our own psychological needs. And then at some point, there's Shiva, and then there's the eighth day of Shiva, which is the getting up, the time to get up. And that's, I think it's vayakumu. Banavu Vnosav Lenachamo. It's time for Nechama. Papa, Grandpa, it's time to get up. Son is lost, he's gone. It's time to move on. It's terrible, we'll never forget him, but it's time to move on. And says the Torah, Vayima'ein Lehisnachem. He refused to be consoled. And Rashi tells us the reason why he refused to be consoled was because something deep down, something wasn't right. We know that he knew something wasn't right when he sends Shamati Shnei Shever B'Mitzrayim. He sends him back to Mitzrayim. It's time to face the problem. He knew something was not right. But he also here knew things weren't right. And Rashi tells us that a person can only receive tanchumim from a person who when somebody dies. It's over. And when someone's still alive, there's no tanchumi. We know that from David HaMelech, when the baby, Chas V'Shalom, dies, it's time to get up and move on. Yaakov didn't move on because he knew that his son was still alive. Says the Chafetz Chaim, and I'm, of course, adding a little to explain, but imagine last year, not this year, but imagine last year, I don't know where you guys were last year, but imagine, you're sitting on the floor and the lights are a little dark and there's candles and you're singing Eicha in a very mournful tune. And imagine that if somebody from Parksville, New York, got lost, somebody and walks into the Beis Medrash here and sees hundreds of people sitting on the floor and mourning and crying, and hey, what's the matter? What's the problem? So somebody sitting by the door tells the stranger, we're mourning over Yushalayim. It's not just a building, it was everything that it represented and everything that we lost, and we're very sad. And the person would say, oh, that's terrible. I'm out of the loop. And when did this happen? Last month? It was a couple months ago. I didn't hear the news. Actually, it didn't happen a couple months ago. It happened a little less than 2,000 years ago. At this point, the guy feeling sorry for you over your loss would start laughing. You're crazy. Are you crazy? It's time to move on. Time to get over it. Okay, it's sad, but there's America, there's London, there's Berlin, beautiful cities, moving. You have everything you need there. You have everything. So it's time to get over it. And we say back to this person, Vayima ein leisnachem. I can't get over it. I only get over things that are done. I only get over things that are dead. I only get over things that are finished. There's a story that is told. It's written in the Art Scroll Kinos book, if I'm not mistaken, about Napoleon. I'm sure it's true. I don't know if it happened, but I'm sure it's true. That apparently Napoleon was trying to conquer a country, and he comes on Tisha B'Av, and he hears the Jews crying over Eicha, crying over the Beis HaMikdash. It's in the 1700s, 1800 years after the Churban HaMikdash, 1700 years after the Churban HaMikdash. And the story goes that he said, if these people are still mourning over Yerushalayim, I can never conquer them. I'll never be able to beat them. And the Chafetz Chaim says that here also. Vayima'ein lehisnachem. The this stranger who says, get over it, and we say, Yerushalayim is still alive. Yerushalayim is still alive. It's still there. It's Chai V'Kayam. We know that it is. And if I'm not going to get over it, it's as if the Band-Aid was literally pulled off right now. The wound reopened. And it's painful. And that's the Pshat in the Gemara. Kol HaMis'avel Yerushalayim. A person is Mis'avel now over something happened 2,000 years ago. Who cares anymore? No, you're Mis'abel Yerushalayim, Zoche V'roe, even in the present tense, Zoche V'roe B'simcha, that is a chelek, a form of simcha. Ah, Yerushalayim is still alive, and we know that we can rebuild it. So to be Zoche, to no longer do Zeche L'Churban, to be sad, and to look backwards, but Mitzvah Zeche L'Mikdash, looking forward, and building forward, the things that we do in our chesed, in our Torah, in our personal lives, Ben al lachaver ben al makom. Yemirat Hashem, we should all be zoche, not you know, in a dream, not hayinu kecholim, but mamish zoche v'roe now, this year already, to see the end of all our pain and sadness and tears with the rebuilding of the mikdash. Yemirat Hashem. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you. I appreciate your letting me learn from you guys.